You've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got troubles, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, we can see it through. If you got a friend in me.
And good afternoon again. I'm Michael Rubin. Kelly is away for a couple weeks, so I'm here by myself. It's like, this is really kind of weird. I'm used to having Kelly here to operate controls and stuff, but he's not here today. But we're going to move forward with the show. And today we have with us Marie Kern from the Sorcerer's Raven Productions. And she's going to talk a little bit about how it's kind of an update on today on how Tales of Mithril, the cartoon, is moving forward. They have some really exciting news. So let me bring on Marie. Just hang on. Marie, are you there?
I am here. So, can you all hear me?
Yep. We all should be able to hear you now.
Excellent.
So, I hear you have some exciting news about A Sorcerer's Raven and Tales of Mithril.
We do. Last night we started the hashtag challenge, and it's called Join the Magic. So if you go on Twitter or Facebook and you put hashtag Join the Magic at Mithril, that is Mithril spelled MYTHERWRE. And you do that on Twitter, and you could even send a video of yourself saying join the magic or join the magic at Mithril, and it'll give you an opportunity to be a part of our campaign that we are aiming to launch in September, and that will help raise funds for our pilot episode for Tales of Mithril.
So is there any chance of getting a look at what that pilot episode might be? What it'll be about?
Well, we are working on the animation for the teaser, so we will be able to show off some of the animation and show the personalities of the two main characters, especially Ajnia and Senia. Two girls who grew up in opposite ends, basically rich girl meet poor girl or farm girl. And they soon become friends at the school called Gardel University of Magic and Sorcery. And later on, they find out their differences. One of them is led down a dark path, and they soon become enemies. And the world just goes off into chaos after that. And it's a great magical world that we want to introduce as a coming of age of two girls, especially. And if you like fantasy shows like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Game of Thrones, it's kind of a mixture of all those, except they're aimed for girls instead of boys.
What is it that you hope the girls will get out of the show in general?
Pardon me?
What do you hope the girls will get out of the shows in general? Like the message behind all the shows?
Well, number one message that we want to get across is empowerment. To follow your goals and dreams and be empowered by your dreams. And just never be afraid to be yourself. No matter how crazy people might think of you as, you just, if you're happy with who you are, be empowered with who you are.
Well, that's a really great message when we see all these reports about cyberbullying and teenagers committing suicide because of a Facebook post or something like that. So this is a really great message.
Yeah. Well, for me, growing up, the way that I deal with bullies, simple, beat them up. But yeah, nowadays it's kind of harder to do that, especially on the internet. I've had a cyber bully torment me because I posted that I lost my common-law husband over diabetes. And the reason that I solved that problem was that I was talking with other victims of the bullies, and they just happened to have personal information about this person. So I set a trap and got the police after them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I usually hear more about the teenagers, but that's really out there. You're in a bereaved state and someone trying to slam you.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. And it doesn't matter who you are, you're still a target to be a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the message that we want to try and shoot for with, especially with Salesmanfro, is to encourage people. It's like, stand up, be yourself, and yes, you will get hurtful comments, but you can have the power to rise above these hurtful comments and stick to what you want to achieve at the end. Like, you want to be a singer, shoot for that. If you want to be an artist, go for it and rehearse, practice, and be the best you can be, no matter what the outcome. And you're basically trying to please yourself, not anybody else.
Right. So it sounds like you're living your own message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some other background. I know that that Tales of Mithril is only one of many cartoons that Sorcerer's Raven is actually producing. Mm-hmm. And you do a number of other animation products, right?
That's true, yes. We are indeed, at the moment, we're accepting clients that are needing some animation done, logo design, animation, 3D modeling. We're also looking for people who would be very interested in being a part of the Tales of Mithril crowdfunding to help support the cause and the messages that we want to achieve by producing great shows like Tales of Mithril. Mm-hmm. And it's just a big right now, the animation. And right now, I'm actually here at Anime Revolution here in Vancouver, BC. And if you are in the area, you want to come in and check out the booth that I'm at. I'm at booth 517, and I'm with Kagi Productions. She, too, is promoting her own animation series and on Kickstarter right now. And, of course, Tales of Mithril is aiming to have their Kickstarter launched by September.
Right. So how close are you to actually having your crowdfund ready to go?
I would say we're about 80% there. We're just getting some more animation done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and then possibly some storyboard done for the pilot episode, so we can show off the step by step procedure or process of the project and how far we are in development for the pilot episode.
So, for listeners out there who might be interested in animation or building the type of cartoon that you're building, can you kind of like maybe briefly go through some of the steps that you've taken, some of the pitfalls that you hit, and things like that along the way?
Well, I first created Tales of Mithril when I was 14. It started off, actually, when I was in grade 9, and I was in typing class, and my teacher saw me drawing some Ninja Turtles. So he said, why not, let's do a comic book for kids that the school was hosting for elementary students. So I started drawing some images of the turtles, and I realized that there will be girls at the party too, so half the coloring book would be for boys and the other half would be for girls. So I started drawing fairies for girls. And later on I looked at the characters that I drew and developed them even more and started creating more characters. Next thing I know it, I had enough characters to show off this fabulous magical world called Mithril. And Tales of Mithril just came to mind. And that's way back in 1989, I believe. So
this has been quite the trip for you to, so this isn't a short-term process in some respects, huh?
No, it's been on my mind for a long time.
Yeah.
And of course, Tales of Mithril wasn't the only show that I was creating at the time. I was, put it this way, by age 14, I had created over 500 characters and over 20 different stories.
Wow. That's quite amazing for a teenager. So specifically with Tales of Mithril, to get to this point, how long ago did you actually start focusing in on the animation and the production for it to go on air?
I started actually going really, really serious with this. I started rehashing out the characters in 2007 and gradually met with other artists and the people that really were passionate about this story and about this project. And in 2013, I registered the name Solstice Raven Productions and started modeling the original 2D artwork of the characters into 3D. And now we've got a few of the characters modeled in 3D and rigged for animation, and we're going to feature them in our teaser.
Okay.
We even got some of the environment scenes modeled as well. We got an incredible artist, Vijay, who's in India, and we got a concept artist who's done amazing work, and he's from Spain.
Yeah.
And set a rigger and animator who is from the United States.
So, just for people who are listening, you have actually shown me some of the animation of the world, the background of the world, like the moons and things like that. And
yeah.
It is, like you said, it's absolutely stunning.
And that's only 2D. Amazing what it'll look like when it's 3D. Yeah, if you go on the YouTube channel, Tales of Mithril, you can look up on YouTube, you could actually see it. And it also includes a bit of the actual original music composed, especially for Tales of Mithril. We have a very amazing composer, Anthony Chu, who does feature films in Hong Kong.
Mm.
And he himself is really passionate about this, and he was excited to do the theme music for Tales of Mithril.
Wow. So you're listening to Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks, and we're here live on our flagship half-hour flagship station, CFR 100.5 FM, Vancouver's Co-op Radio. How important is the music in this whole process?
Well, especially with any fantasy movie or TV series, music is key. And it really draws you into the story and the characters. And this is a very epic sounding music, and you'll just like be in like drawing into the story just by listening to the music.
Yeah, is there a track on the YouTube where people can actually hear the theme music?
Well, we got a little bit of a sample with the animation of the sun's rising. We also have interviews. We have like some interview videos on the YouTube channel, and it has the music playing in the background.
Yeah, because you have quite a number of actors and things like that that you're working with to make this all happen.
Right.
Now, the last time we were here, we were all sitting in the studio and we were like laughing our full behinds off because, this is Ian. That's what the one actor's name was. He was doing some crazy characters that he's actually made up also. So,
you could actually hear him. There's an animation short on YouTube right now called Bacon Double Cheeseburger, and he plays a character called Zippy. So check that out as well. You can hear him and the sample of how well he acts out a character by his voice.
Yeah. So what's it like dealing with all these different personalities, trying to bring them all together to make this whole series happen?
It's an amazing experience. And it's so easy. It seems easy to talk to people that is drawn to the idea and the concept, and they just believing it heart and soul. It just speaks to them in some way. So they're very passionate, and they want to do as much as they can for the project and to make it look and sound as amazing as it is described.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you said that there's, of course, there's some other projects. Can you go through briefly what some of those other shows might be and when we might be able to see those come along too?
Yeah. Well, one of them that we have is one that both me and one voice actresses that are in the series. Her name is Samantha. Her and I teamed up, and we created a series called House of Soul. And it's about a little alien that has come to Earth to film a documentary about the human race. And the catch is that everybody in the small town that she features the humans in all believe that she's from New York. And she's this purple little alien that looks so out there, that's hard to believe that people believe that she's from New York City instead of from outer space. The other story that we have on the go is the story that I created about a little doll that a gypsy girl created, and it's alive, but she was shipped to the United States and was left in an attic for 50 years, so she kind of went nuts. So we got this like crazy looking doll, and she's trying to seek revenge on the human race for trapping her into a closet or an attic for 50 years.
Wow. That sounds pretty out there.
Oh, yes. lots of comedy in both of those stories.
It's quite the amazing imagination.
For a mature audience, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So you don't do just children's cartoons. You do a multitude of different cartoons.
Yeah, I like to. My favorites are usually creating shows and cartoons that could be great for all ages. Mm-hmm. And anybody can watch it, no matter how young or how old, and just enjoy the story and the characters and be enthralled with the world.
Right. So I'm actually on YouTube right now, and I found a clip. It looks like you and Samantha just kind of horsing around or something between scenes or something like that. It says, hang on. The clip is entitled Sam and Marie with Magic Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't mind, can I play that clip right now?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, I'll write that. Right up. Yeah. See? Oh, I don't know what this stone is, but I like this stone. It has magic fingers. It is a magic finger. We won't go there. Oh, goodness. Ivy. Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Oh, okay, do that again. Oh, do that again. Oh, yeah. Oh, she finds my spots.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Oy vey. Oy vey, that's good. Oh, lovely. Oh, water. Water. Oh, that's so good. I need that scotch. Where'd that go? Oh, my goodness. Are we recording? Hello. Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Hello. Okay,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah, so the accent that you hear Samantha, she's actually acting out one of the characters that's in the House of Soul. Character's name is Cassandra, and she's a not-so-nice lady in the series.
Yeah. She's really got the New York accent going on there. She kind of reminds me of Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
So
I think that's part of the influence behind that.
So you have quite a number of different personalities working with this. It's just amazing. In each one of these guys have talent to be able to do different voices depending on what the character is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you guide them through that process of determining what that voice should sound like?
Usually, the actor will look at the picture of the character. If there is this for animation, they'll look at the character. They will feel the character's personality. And the voice will just come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's live action and they're playing an acting character, they will read the script and they will get the feel of the character by the words and the description.
Now, do you write all the scripts yourself?
We have a script writer, actually. His name is Dale Gillespie. And he's done amazing work. He's written the full season, first season of Tales of Mithril. And with the right funding for it, we will be able to not only do the pilot episode, we will be able to produce the entire first season for web TV and YouTube and Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're out there, you're crowdfunding, you're looking for investors, things like that. What kind of budget does it take to actually produce a full season? How many episodes is a full season to begin with?
For TV, it will be 22 minutes. And for most animation, it would be between $250,000 to $500,000 for a 5-10 minute episode. You're looking at probably, hopefully, half that much.
Right.
So that's our goal, is to have maybe the pilot episode to be 22 minutes, and then the rest of the episodes will be closer to 5 to 10 minutes per episode.
Okay. How many episodes will you do for a season?
Again, for the first season, we have about 20... five episodes. And that's a mixture of 22 minutes to 5 to 10 episodes per episode. Unless a network comes and picks it up, in that case, we could easily blend in all those episodes into 10 different episodes for the first pilot, first season.
Okay. So when you say blend them together, do you actually write all the scripts together at one time, or do you write each individual, for each individual episode, do you write a script?
We did this. We wrote the pilot up first, and then we wrote the season finale episode. And then that way we could get an idea of the beginning and the end. And then we just went in and wrote up the episodes in between. And just we've been including details and changing things. And we come up with different drafts of certain scripts. So some scripts took about 7 to 8 different drafts before we figured, well, we've got something going on here, so we could move on to the next script.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of work. We're actually in our final minutes of the show here. So, again, how does everybody find the show? And if they want to learn animation or get a hold of you as an animator, how do you do that?
One of the ways is to check us out online. Check us out on Twitter at Mithril, and that's MYTHERWREL, or go on to Facebook and type in Tales of Mithril. You can check out on our website, which will have all the links to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and that's talesofmithril.com. You could contact me directly at marie@sorceressravenproductions.com.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a good conference where you are right now.
Yeah, and don't forget to join us on the hashtag challenge. Join the magic.
Join the hashtag join the magic on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do a video of yourself and post it online and get a chance to be in our campaign video.
Awesome.
Yeah. And if you're an Anime Revolution, come over to the booth, booth 1517, and you might be able to meet me there and talk more about this project and buy some really cool stuff.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Marie Kern with Sorceress Raven, and she's speaking about Tales of the Mithril, and I do invite you to go look up some of the things that they have on YouTube. There's some really funny things out there. That about wraps it for our show today, and I'm going to leave you with music, and it's by Miles Davis.